How can we ever claim to know God or to know what it is that God wants? Here are three, listen to this, here are three different ways that we could read part of today's story. Who is this who darkens counsel in words without knowledge? Who is this who darkens counsel in words without knowledge? Who is this who darkens counsel in words without knowledge? How is it that we can ever understand God or what God wants or the mind of God from the written word? God is by definition more than we could ever write down or express in words. By definition, God has to be more than any words we could ever comprehend in our own minds. And that's a large part of this portion of the book of Job that we hear today. That the poet wants us to make sure we know that God always has been, is, and always will be a power that is at work in realms that we can never access. Only God can tame a monster like Leviathan. Only God can tame the monster and command its loyalty and love. Who are we to think we could do the same? I think that is part of why we love Jesus so much. I think that vastness of God is part of why we love Jesus. Because Jesus is accessible to us. Jesus came as a human, accessible to us. We can understand, and we're setting aside all the debates about whether Jesus was divine and to what degree, but we can access the mind of a man, the mind and the body. Jesus had feet, right, that got dirty. And so people would clean his feet. And then he had hands, and he would clean the feet of other people. Jesus would get hot from the sun of the Levant, and people would put cool oil on his temple, just as we are promised will happen for us in Psalm 23. Jesus ate, Jesus drank, Jesus went to parties. And yes, there are miracles that are attributed to Jesus, but at least those miracles are happening in a context that we're familiar with, not the birth of the oceans, not the birth of the oceans as described by God in Job. Jesus brings holiness down to a scale that we can relate to. And that helps us. That helps us in trying to reach God and to try to have an understanding and a relationship with God. But I think for as much as Jesus does that for us and with us, Jesus is a problem. As Christians, as Christians, perhaps at times the eyes of our hearts and our souls become too narrowly focused on the human, so much so that we lose sight. So much so that we lose sight of the grandness, the great vastness that Christ himself points toward. Holiness has a history that's far larger and longer than Jesus or this Christian era. There's so much more there than we proclaim on a weekly basis. And so stories like Job are great because they allow us to set Jesus aside, even at the risk of coming in close contact with a storm that is raging and does not seem to care at all about our suffering. Now, seem is the key word there. In this passage in Job, God does not seem to care about Job's losses. Remember, he lost all of his money and his cattle and his wife and his children and his grandchildren and his health. God does not seem to care about them. But does God's absence of talking about those sores and losses mean that God doesn't care? Is an absence of speech a lack of consideration for his suffering? One of my favorite contemporary theologians is Catherine Keller. She's a process theologian. She uses process theology, which is a lot what it sounds like, that the world as we know it is in constant process of being created and creating. You heard some of that language in the baptism liturgy, that we and God and the planet and the universe are in constant response to each other. Not that we're making God somehow, but God responds to us, just as we respond to God. So God changes. And we can see some of that in our scripture. We see how God seems to change over time, or at least our understanding of God. I like to think of it, though, as a spiral, moving through time. Keller, in her book, Face of the Deep, writes about Genesis, the imagery of Genesis, the great waters that are parted, as well as this Genesis-like imagery that we have here in Job. And she puts out a theory. She has a theory about why it is that God tends to appear to us from wilderness. So today in a raging storm and a whirlwind, to Moses in the burning bush. And why it is that God seems to favor the natural world. Her theory is that God does this because the natural world resists human domination. And I would argue by extension, the natural world resists human arrogance, making it preferable to God. We know that whales and elephants mourn their dead, but do they cry out for special treatment because of it? Job did. Last week's speech from Job was all about demanding special treatment. I will have my day in court, he said. I will have a chance to defend my innocence. Let the injustices done to me be inscribed in stone for all time, for all to see. Keller says that humans lose our special status, if it is true that we have special status as humans. Our Bible wants us to see ourselves as special. But we lose any special relationship with God when we abuse it, when we become demanding. Like Job. For Keller, God comes from the natural world because the natural world doesn't give God as much trouble as we do. And as a result, we are reminded alongside Job that we are just a little teeny tiny part of the story, and we dare not presume otherwise, even if, like Job, we've done our prayers and suffered a great loss. None of which feels very good, right? That doesn't feel good at all. It doesn't feel good when you're in the midst of pain and bloodshed to be told, well, you just need to get some perspective on your life. Or is perspective exactly what we need, what Job needs? Not perspective that demoralizes us, not perspective that belittles us, but perspective that can strengthen us. Today, we had the great blessing just a few moments ago of getting to be part of little Catherine Bryce's baptism. We got to say with one voice and stand up in joy and say, yes, we will be part of her faith family. We're going to stay right alongside her through all of her days. We were witnesses to the ways that she was drenched in this water of life, the same water that served as Jesus' entrance into his own ministry. The waters of baptism mark her as beloved. Mark all of us as beloved. Not more beloved than anyone else. This doesn't make us more special than anyone else. But it makes us visibly marked, publicly marked as beloved. The water also marks us as wild. This water is a reminder that we are wild. Just like earth itself. Just like the waters itself, as described by God in this part of the book of Job, we burst forth from the womb in a great rush. Even those of us here who were born surgically, We still came from the salty, nutritious realm that is a woman's body. This is part of what God is trying to teach Job. Your suffering does not make you special, but you are connected. You are water and sky. You are brother to the beasts and to the stars. In the grand scale of things, you are almost nothing, but look at the scale of holiness that gives its attention to you. In the scale of the universe, you may be almost nothing, but I, the greatest that there is, are here paying attention to you. Keller also writes that in a universe of open-ended indeterminacy, in which our most wounded questions rarely yield direct answers, faith will approximate courage. When certainty is rare, and certainty is rare, and when we are suffering without reason or with reason, faith will stand in for our courage. And it is a faith that is bolstered by wildness, the wildness that we are born out of and that we still carry in our bones. We, each of us, have a portion of the strength of the Leviathan. We, each of us, have a portion of God's delighted and delightful attention. Just because the stars are loved doesn't mean that we're not. God is love of all things. So, as you are trying in your life to understand the mind of God, where God calls you, where God calls us all, get out your Bible, but read it out loud. Bring it to life. Play with the different tones of voice that you might hear from God, from Jesus, from the saints, from the prophets. And as you do, remember that even if you were baptized before, you can remember, or you were not baptized at all, you have the power of creation within you. So even in those days when you feel abandoned and alone, treated like a scaly and terrifying monster by others, by virtue of your very birth, you are always in the presence of God. Amen.